KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
So, Ara, last week, you said that you wanted to talk about net neutrality.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell just me that, or did we tell everyone that we were going to talk about net neutrality?
I told just you, and it may or may not have gone over the air.
It's hard to remember these days.
Yes, and it's very easy to give you a vague answer, which I just did.
Okay. I don't think it's that hard. You seem to do it often, as do I. That's, you know.
It's a skill. It's truly a skill. And maybe one day I will grow up to be a politician.
But we're seasoned veterans of vagueness. So we will talk about that a little bit later. First, there's a couple other things that have been going on lately. I guess the big news now is Infinity Ward. I mean, it was big news a few weeks ago or
now
months, whenever that happened.
Well, it gets bigger because people keep leaving. And we've had – there's actually two stories that broke today. I was thinking about that word, like news breaking.
All that means is that the people who wrote the stories didn't know the full story at first.
Well, no. They broke because the news was more people leaving.
Do you really think it was more people, like, first a bunch left and then the other was like, we should leave too?
The guy
writing the first article just didn't know that so many people left.
Well, no, I think that they actually left, like, today. I think it actually happened today.
Yeah.
Now, here's the funny thing. Whenever weird things like this happen, and to give you guys very brief background,
this isn't so weird. It's just people leaving a company.
Well, it's the weirdness is not that people are leaving. The weirdness is that people are leaving after two of the heads of Infinity Ward were ousted, and there's this huge legal morass where, you know, the two guys say, oh, you guys owe us money, and you owe us all this stuff. And Activision is countersuing, saying, among a lot of other things, right, you guys were trying to, you know, get out of your contract and do all these other nasty things. And it's just actually they're countersuing for them, the two principals of Infinity War, to give money back.
Pay back wages?
Yes. Give money back that they've gotten from Activision on the grounds that they have, agreed to the terms of the contract they were bound by previously.
That's interesting.
So Activision is just, I don't know, it just seems like, I don't know if it's going to hold up in court, but it's like, no, they're like, you owe us $23 million. Like, no, we don't owe you that, and you guys have to give us back a few million.
That's funny.
It's like, okay.
That's just legal game. So to give you a little bit of a history on this. Infinity Ward came out of nowhere, it seemed, and made some games people liked called Call of Duty. And they continued making Call of Duty games that people liked. And when I say came out of nowhere, that just means that I hadn't heard of them before that. And I think Call of Duty was their first big game. So anyway, they make a bunch of them. People really like them. They decide, for some reason, to get on board with Activision. And I think people knew that Activision was becoming this big conglomerate, you know, that if these free reign type people from Infinity Ward, you know, didn't want to be locked in to bureaucracy of a large company, I'm not sure why they joined.
Well,
Activision.
It's not really clear exactly what is going on because, you know, there was a contract, right? And the contract was presumably very clear about what they had control over and what they didn't have control over, right? And
yeah, but why even allow the buyout? Like, the one thing. One cool thing about Infinity Ward, at least the people who used to be there, is just how independent they were. They were very much like a screw the man. We're doing it the way we want. We know better than you. We know amazing things. We're going to pull off some stuff that nobody's seen before.
Right. Well,
they let themselves become part of this Activision company.
Right. It's the thing is, though, I mean, what's happened, right, like between them and Activision, like what's really happened, nobody will actually know. What Activision is planning, or whoever in Activision is planning on that company's behalf of doing and whether, you know, their intentions are sincere or not, or at least honest, is, you know, one thing that we'll never know. And these two guys, I mean, we'll never know if, you know, they are pure as the driven snow, as it were, or if they had other sinister intentions. I mean, we just, in a situation like this that gets so much press, we just don't know the reality. We have no idea. I mean, we can just speculate all night long, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm just saying it's weird to me. Like, it seemed inevitable. Like, something's going to break down. You, meaning the heads of this company, right? You, a person who has such interesting ideas and such desire to be free from restraints, right? Join up with a company that has a bunch of money and tells you what to do.
Well, perhaps, right? But maybe in the beginning, that's not the way it seemed, right? And, you know, now we get into our speculation.
And that's
mode.
Just short-sightedness. They should have known Activision was going to say, hey, you know what? We're going to have somebody else make a sequel to your game if you can't put one out every year. Right? And that's what they did. They had somebody else make it, and that pissed them off.
Well, I don't know how sensible it is to say that, like, they should have known. I mean, we know now because it happened, right? But
what information
did they have?
Let me tell you right now. If there's some very independent, extremely talented company that starts making a game that is published by Activision and then, you know, makes a sequel, and then Activision wants to buy them out, they will know Activision is a big company that may very well screw you or go against your ideas if you have such strong desire to keep control of this IP. And I don't think it's only because of the history of Infinity Ward. Like, they'll know because there was the history of Infinity Ward, but also just because Activision is so huge and puts out games perennially and has such an interest in simply, you know, the bottom line.
Yeah, I don't think it's reasonable to assume that, dude, because I don't know how you would know any of that.
Let's put myself in the shoes of a CEO. I do stuff that Activision wants, right? I make these fantastic games. Doesn't matter what games they are. And now somebody wants to put me under their umbrella. As soon as you do that, you lose freedom. That's just the way things are.
Okay, suppose you had a contract that says that you will be in complete creative control of your studio.
It would have to be complete creative control of your studio and of the IP.
Okay, suppose that's what it said.
Sure.
Okay, maybe that's what it said. See, I don't have the thing in front of me, but I think that there was actually
But if that's the case,
verbiage.
There would have been a lawsuit a long time ago.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe things just recently turned sour, or maybe this was brewing for a while, or maybe they didn't really want to bring a lawsuit and they thought they could work it out. I mean, there's a lot to speculate on here.
Ultimately, if they didn't know, they're kind of dumb. And I will just let any company who's listening or anybody who becomes part of a company know right now, if you're going to allow yourself to become part of a very large company, like an EA, an Infinity Ward, a Nintendo, even a Sega, right? Which is weird to think that Sega's not that huge anymore. Your freedom of expression, your art will be stifled. We'll use that word straight from the UAT commercials. Stifled in some way. By virtue of the fact that somebody else has an interest in your property.
Okay. Well, I think you're being highly presumptuous by making those statements.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not making such bold statements.
I think they're pretty bold, dude.
These are pretty obvious things.
I mean, in general, maybe that's the case, right? But I don't think that you could say that the general qualities can apply to any specific situation, especially one that we don't know about.
This one, at least since I'm being so broad and vague, because we decided that we're good at that, I think it was pretty safe to assume. And it's... Maybe they just did it because they knew, you know, they definitely made a lot of money out of it. And I'm sure they made a lot more money than if they weren't under Activision.
Well, there's definitely a lot of questions on both sides, right? Like, one other thing I read recently was that there was an accusation that the principals of Infinity Ward did deliberately suspend payment from Activision of royalties or similar types of payments due to the other employees, right, in order for them to get more angry about Activision, right?
Wait, so the heads held the money back just to make their employees
now,
more pissed off at the big guys?
Got to be clear. This is just an accusation. Did this happen? Who flipping knows? You know, was it somebody just maybe just made this up? I don't know. But this is one of the many rumors that are floating around there. You know, the reality of which probably nobody but maybe two or three people will actually
regardless of whether or not that's real, that's just a really interesting tactic.
Anyway, that's true. Anyway, what I wanted to say a couple minutes ago was that anytime this kind of situation happens, right, where there's a bunch of people leaving, right? And some are thinking about starting a new studio, which the Infinity Ward guys have now done. They've started a new studio called Respawn Entertainment.
Love the name.
Get it, haha. Right? The thing is, there's normally rules in place, and this is the rules of the conditions of the people who are employed at the former employer, where they cannot poach from the previous studio, right? And now what that means is that now we've learned that, right, there is like three lead designers, two programmers, the senior animator, lead artist. These are all the people that have recently just left. If they're going to this new studio, right, maybe that's what they planned all along. Maybe it's not, right? But they can't say that they're leaving to go to this new studio, right? They can say, okay, I'm leaving. Okay, 3 days pass. Oh, I'm going to work here at this new studio. That's okay, right? But what the former Infinity Ward guys can't do is say, okay, I'm leaving the studio. Who wants to come with me? Can you come with me? You know, I want you. You come with me. You come with me. Yeah, let's all go together. There's terminology in people's contracts and employment agreements that prohibits that kind of behavior. So I think
similar to a non-compete agreement, something like that.
Right. And yeah, and there's stuff like that, right? And so I think that what's going to happen is there's probably going to be a series of people leaving Infinity Ward at staggered times. And it's not going to be announced that they're leaving for any particular reason. And it's to get around these provisions, right?
Gotcha.
Because they can do it. They just can't tell them that they're doing it. Because what is allowed, right, is, oh, I don't like this place and where I'm leaving, right? And then after I've left, completely independent of that decision, somebody approaches me and says, hey, do you want to work for Respawn? Oh, okay, why don't I apply there? Right? That's allowed. The other stuff's not allowed, right? But there's no way for you to differentiate between the two if you don't talk. So that's why I think there's...
Well, there's probably some sort of time frame on it, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is some good insight. And that insight is brought to you only from Chatterbox Video Game Radio. That's what we're doing right now. If you want to learn a little bit more about our site or about our show, I guess, by listening to previous shows, you can do that at chatterboxgameshow.com. Head on over there. We got lots of the shows for you to listen to. Of course, you can find it on iTunes as well. If you have questions for Ara or myself, I'm Alon. You can email us at Ara or Alon at chatterboxgameshow.com.
Those are two different email addresses.
That's right.
It's not Ara or Alon.
Alon at chatterboxgameshow.com, Ara at chatterboxgameshow.com. And, of course, you can also email through the website as well.
We should make that address, though. We should make it.
Alon or Ara.
And then have it, like, automatically reply, like, you idiot or something like that.
And then what we should do...
Something
should
more
do
clever.
With Alon and Ara at chatterbox.
I don't know. And then they win a cookie or something.
All right. Well, don't email those addresses. Email us individually. We'll have perhaps an email from listeners later on the show, but we'll definitely be talking about net neutrality. Just a minute.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And in a moment, we're going to talk about net neutrality.
But before that, let me tell you about the University of Advancing Technology. UAT.edu is the website. You don't have to listen to me. You can go to their site and learn more about the programs they offer so that you can be a developer, a designer, a producer, an artist, an animator, all of those many things. So this is really your baby, this net neutrality thing. It's something that lots of different industries deal with, but I guess you're going to make it apply to the video game industry.
Yeah, I'm not actually going to do that, but I thought it was a cool enough topic that we should talk about it anyway.
Really?
And maybe we will stumble upon a direct relation to video games.
So what if I, as a listener, were to submit a difficult topic for you to somehow relate to video games, and that topic were net neutrality?
Then I'd say that's a tough one, but maybe we'll think of it as we talk about it.
Okay.
So you actually, I think, know more about this topic than I do. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up was because, everyone's using the internet these days.
We do that from time to time.
I feel like such a dork for saying that. That's a dorky thing to say.
That's all right. Not everybody does.
But,
The contractor on my new house said that he just threw out
like
email.
Somebody on the, like, this is like somebody on the Today Show. This is what they would say. Everyone's using the internet. But I digress. So about a week or two ago, there was a ruling about who can regulate the internet, right? And decide
who can regulate the internet?
Well, there was a ruling on who can't regulate the internet, more specifically. And it was that the FCC cannot regulate the internet.
That's because the FCC only has control over open airwaves.
Right.
Okay.
And so this is, it's, the whole idea of net neutrality is kind of convoluted, I think, because on the face of it, right, like people, what people are saying is, okay, net neutrality, and tell me if I'm wrong, net neutrality means that basically all of the data that's going back and forth over the internet is treated equally. You know, we don't say that one person who's in control of that data or one entity or company who's in control of that data, they're not allowed to say, oh, okay, at least this is how it works now. And this is the concept that people who are for this want it to continue this way. You know, we don't say, oh, these packets are from, you know, a certain application that I don't like, maybe BitTorrent, right? And so I'm not going to allow them. Or I'm only going to allow, like, every fifth packet across of those. Or I'm only going to allow, like, 20% of my bandwidth to be spent by that, right? That's one thing, right? The funny thing is that if you just read about it on face value, right, it's like it sounds like it's an obvious thing. Like, yes, we should keep it that way. That sounds great, right? And a lot of other people seem to use the idea of net neutrality as like, I don't know, like it's an unconstitutional idea, right?
Like, or it's unconstitutional to be neutral?
Yeah, or that it's, I don't know, I've heard other words used, like communist.
So do me a favor. For those who aren't terribly familiar with the term or the concept, what is your best description of what net neutrality really means?
Well, I thought I just said it, but you can provide a better one.
So I've got to be honest. I don't think I'm the expert that you perceive me to be. But I'm going to break it down for our listeners as best as I can. Very simply, just pay attention to the word neutrality, right? Obviously, it's a point of being neutral. And so in this case, I say, think Switzerland, right? Neutral. They don't take sides. They're not going to make a decision.
Right.
They're going to let things roll and see what happens. So this concept of net neutrality is not taking sides, because it's a worldwide web. It's not, and the internet isn't just worldwide web. You know that. But it's
right.
It involves everyone. It's not supposed to be segmented by political boundaries. And so what is segmented by political boundaries is law. In the United States, there are certain things you can do, certain things you can't do. Vice versa when you go to another country.
Right, like child porn, not okay here. In Japan, okay. I don't know if that's actually true. Just an example, guys. Just an example.
Yeah. So child porn is actually one of the interesting exceptions to this rule. So
Okay, let me put it this way. Drawings of naked three-year-olds, not okay here. In Japan, okay, and massive industry.
There you go. That is a better example. So basically, to say that you are for net neutrality is to say that you are not for censorship in any way.
Right, right.
You're going to let things go. You're not going to decide that even though we have a rule on, say, public television, that we're not going to show, you know, a boob or some other genital or something, right? We're not going to apply that rule to the internet. We want to be net neutral. Now,
right.
The exception, the child porn thing, is that there are a couple things that have been decided to be universally bad or dangerous. And so in America, you will see that laws exist that do not allow hosts to allow, like, definitely dangerous material
right,
on
but,
their servers.
Right, and then they go after the people who are hosting it, right? They don't, like...
Yeah, and they go after the people who put it to the host. I mean, hosts generally, like, as long as they comply with the rules, like, somebody puts child porn up on their server, somebody tells them about it, they take it down, no problem. You're not in trouble because you hosted it for 5 minutes. You're only in trouble if you say, oh, it's there? Guess what? I'm going to keep it there. But it's been decided that child porn is bad, that direct threats of harm to someone are also
bad. All sensible things.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I just say, I hate Jews, not a problem. If I say, I hate Jews and I'm going to bomb the synagogue tomorrow, that is a problem. Right? There's a difference between the direct threat of violence or the dissemination of quote, dangerous material like child pornography. Even though there may be a country that allows those things, who knows? But at least in America, we might say we're net neutral and still censor a very small number of things.
Right, right. Now, the people who don't like net neutrality, right? And it's I don't know. I find this funny because there's especially some politicians basically frame this as like the whole communist thing, right? Because to them, right? And I'm okay. I haven't categorized those people yet, so that's good. To those kinds of people, right? They're like, okay, well, if I'm like Comcast, right, and I'm controlling the internet service, then I own, you know, I own the roads, as it were, of the internet service, and they're my roads. I should be able to choose to do whatever I want with them, right? And the scary part with this, I don't know if this is actually going to happen. I don't know if this is actually in danger of happening, right? But a lot of people are warning us about, you know, when you subscribe to internet service, right, what you'll get is, you want to access Google? Well, that's an extra $30 a month. And if you want YouTube, it's 20 bucks more. And if you want this other website or this other protocol, then you have to pay more for that, right? And the companies will have the ability, the companies who control the internet access will have the ability to basically chop up how they deliver and sell that access to you any way they want, which to me is, I don't know. I guess the short of it is really scary and sucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is taking, so what I was saying was more of a political and censorship thing, but you're right. I mean, the ability to make a decision about the data that exists for any reason, it falls under the same umbrella. So that's a good point.
Which is what they do that to cable, basically. Yeah.
And,
right
and how it could apply to video games is if they decide that video games are obviously a luxury, right? A luxury item. We don't need to have it to live. It's not necessary. Although the argument could be made, at least in a future society or even in today's society in the right conditions, that the internet, although it may not be necessary, we would be severely inconvenienced were we to not have cheap access to the internet, right? But they may say, well, if you want your Xbox Live packets, right? If you want this port open for Xbox Live, then yeah, we're going to charge you a premium, just like you were saying,
right.
So, for certain content.
Right. So now, Microsoft is charging you, and now Comcast will potentially, I'm not saying now, like, they can't really do this now, but in the future, depending on what happens, right? They might have the authority to say, hey, you know what? We found that it's most profitable for us to charge $5 extra a month if you want to use Xbox Live with your internet service. So now they're going to take a cut out of your wallet as well as Microsoft as they do already.
Yeah. And so the benefit of this net neutrality idea is that everybody gets on board, politicians get on board, and then they make laws opposing something that is not neutral.
Right. Now the fortunate thing is that so far, right, all the government has said is FCC, it's not your jurisdiction. Okay, so nobody knows whose jurisdiction it is yet, and maybe somehow a new entity will need to be created to actually have jurisdiction over this, because...
One thing we've learned is that you can just put a law or a proposal for a law, a prop, into an election, and then we can decide and just put it into our state constitution.
You could do that.
Right.
If they don't trick us.
Well, they've tricked us to put other crappy propositions.
Yeah, we'll talk about the tricks when we come back.
We're getting so political.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, and on fire, on fire.
We're starting with a simmer, but we're gonna build up to a to a full-blown eruption.
Speaking of on simmer.
That's probably not the best choice of words.
I got such an awesome oven range thing for my new house. I'm so excited.
Does it simmer?
Dude, it's induction, man, and you can like make it simmer or boil. I still haven't even used it, but it's going to be so awesome.
Does it do fusion?
No.
No? Okay. Maybe next year, Ronald.
No, but it does have a perfect turkey button.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
Hope it works.
Yeah. All right. My cabinets are coming in this week. All my sweet stainless steel appliances are going to go in. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to be like a little Aunt Jemima and cooking the stuff and the foods and the things. And
I'm trying to imagine all these things you're describing to me as being car parts, because this is the only way that I could possibly share this amount of enthusiasm.
It's going to be good times.
All right. So we haven't been talking about Alon's new house stuff. We've been talking about net neutrality. Just wanted to spend a couple more minutes on this. The thing that really pisses me off about this whole discussion is that there are people out there that are framing net neutrality as being something that's bad, as something that basically restricts choice and freedom, which, in my opinion, is completely dishonest, right? And you were talking about, yeah, we can put a proposition out there. This is what they do to these propositions, right? They write them to trick people into thinking that they're voting for the opposite of what they're going to vote for, right? And I bet you the same thing is going to come up with all this net neutrality business.
You're talking about, like, if I were to make a proposition that said, vote for Prop 100, which is vote for marriage, right?
Right.
Okay. And really, a vote for marriage is restricting the people who can get married.
Right, something like that. Okay. They do this all the time. You've probably been tricked a few times and didn't even know it if you actually voted on proposition.
Our fellow Arizonans did.
They do this. They did it here. They did it with those ridiculous check cashing things, which fortunately didn't trick everybody.
Didn't we win on that one?
Yes. The
sensible people?
Sensible people won, right?
But not the gay thing.
But
we lost the gay thing.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're not going to keep trying, right? So okay. Net neutrality, guys, it's good, okay? Let's just leave it where it is.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I wanna bring this into game somehow. And really all I can do is think about the billing aspect.
Right. Well, here's the funny thing, right? The only difference structurally is that with games, right, the people who own the games, or the sell the games to you, already control pretty much all the delivery methods. So they're able to sell us piecemeal. If you want this, pay this much. If you want this part, pay that much. They can decide however they want to structure it, right?
Well, you know what? Conceivably, and this is kind of a separate part of the subject. If they weren't neutral, if they made some laws that said you can't transmit, scenes of a certain type, so depict a certain extreme violence, or, you know, some sort of sexual theme or something, and they, let's say they try to censor it just like they do public television by public, you know, the major networks and all that, and then said, you know, these things can't be transmitted over the internet, that falls into games. So, like, a single-player game that doesn't go online might be able to have a scene
violence. You're saying that, like, because it's not transmitted over the internet, it may allow something more graphic or disturbing than maybe something that's only...
What I'm saying is what we're used to now everywhere,
right,
could then be restricted, and they would have to say, well, if it's an online game, it can't have that. If there's any online component, which would be everything on the Xbox, every single game on the Xbox, then it can't have X, Y, and Z, which could be, you know, a certain level of violence, certain swears and stuff.
Right.
And so they could affect it in this way and say, oh, well, if it's a single-player game that's not online, which doesn't exist anymore, because everything somehow connects to the internet with achievements or talking to your friends while you're online, stuff like that, then you're just not going to be able to have that content because it's transmitted over the internet and could be accessed by a 12-year-old on the other end.
Right.
And that's, honestly, that's totally conceivable in America. That could totally happen. Because they already do, they have to put up notices that say the ESRB, you know, we haven't rated this online content. Basically saying somebody may say a swear word to you or tell you that they want to rape you in the butt, because we can't control what people say. We can't control the content that little Jimmy is going to hear because it's produced on the fly by other people who are online. And so right now, the only regulation we have is you know, parental controls and good guidance, but we don't have anything actually built into the laws. Whereas if we had laws put on the books that were not net neutral, they could very well affect your video games. And if I were some sort of sensationalist radio host, political radio host, I would try to imply that this is definitely happening and coming down the road. But I don't actually have anything to suggest that it will, other than to say American lawmakers are historically insane and make all sorts of laws very much like those which I just described.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Here's the funny part, though, right? If we weren't already used to enjoying this neutral freedom, which is the character of the internet, right? Honestly, nobody would have complained about it, right? Because
well, that's true.
Consider like, I mean, well, video games as a means of delivering stuff, media to consumers, right? Versus like cable versus like internet, right? Cable always started out that way, right? And they've always had basically that type of structure of a la carte, more or less, right, in different ways. And nobody complained because, well, it was just that way from the beginning, right? But we have a precedent already because we're already used to getting content in a certain way. So I'm really hoping that enough people enjoy it and appreciate and understand this freedom for what it is now that they will actually take part in, if there's any kinds of votes happening in any time in the future, that they'll actually just vote for just keeping it the way it is. Because I can't really come up with a compelling argument to say that one way is, you know, morally or righteous one way or the other, right? It's just, it almost seems like it's just an artifact of reality based on just the way it was first, you know? Just in the same way that, you know, consumers are used to paying, I don't know what, like $15, $20 for a DVD, right? I don't know how much Blu-rays are now, but
very expensive.
Very expensive, right? For DVDs, right, there's no way you can get away with, you know, charging the price of a game for a regular DVD because there's already that momentum and people are accustomed to paying a certain price for those things. You can only kind of test the market and, like, you know, raise your price gradually for people to get accustomed to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, expectations are the seed of,
right,
of emotion.
But that's,
right?
That's what companies like Comcast are going to do. They're going to push that envelope as
honestly,
much as they can.
They're already doing it, but they're doing it in a different way. They're just saying, if you want this level of bandwidth, and this is the level we describe as for gamers,
right,
then we're going to charge you this much.
Right, right.
Because they could provide, you know, everybody the faster bandwidth. And
right.
I don't think there's a reason they couldn't.
They all want us to be the frogs in the frying pan, where instead of turning up the temperature, they're turning up the costs. They know that if they turn up the costs too quickly, everyone's going to get angry. But they know if they just do it gradually, just enough, just slow enough, then nobody will complain, or the fewest amount of people will complain for them not to get bad press.
Or when they give you the options.
Now, no, that's true. Now, the last thing I want to say about this, right, is that there are right now – oh, crap, forget it. Let's move on.
Okay.
I lost it.
I can do that.
That's what happens. I lost it. Let's move
on. I can
on.
Put it to rest. That's
all right, let's
no
put
problem.
It to bed. Okay.
But let me just tell you this. We're warning you now when it's not actually on the horizon. So when it comes, don't be surprised. You heard it here first.
Okay.
At Chatterbox.
Okay. I think my brain just gave up. It's just like, I don't want to talk about net neutrality anymore.
So vote with your little voting machine.
Okay. So let's talk about some video games.
Wow. Is that what we talk about here?
Yes. That's what we talk about here.
Awesome.
Video games.
Awesome.
All right. So, okay. Let's see. I just want to rant a little bit really briefly. Okay. I read an article a few weeks ago on Heavy Rain, and not Heavy Rain specifically, but that type of game structure, right? And it was actually saying, right, because Heavy Rain came out, and Heavy Rain's a narrative-heavy game with lots of story branching, and everyone's like, oh, this is really cool, this is really novel, we should have lots more games that do this, that have all these story branches, and it's really awesome, right? And then so there's people arguing for this, right? And then I read an article, and someone's arguing against it, and saying, you know what, that's not as cool as it's cracked up to be. You know, we should really just, you know, there's a lot of benefits to totally linear narrative. And that's true, right? It's a trade-off for sure, right?
I'm nodding my head, yes.
So, you know, the other day I read an article about how, you know, games should, you know, basically, you know, tell you less things and encourage you to act and figure out the game in more of a, you know, interactive expositional way, right? There should be less literal instruction and more just exploring the space and just doing things and actually just, you know, instead of sitting and having it give you information and then you're trying to figure out what to do, it should be more of a, what's the word, like an organic...
Are you looking for the word synergy?
No, definitely not that word. Like a more continuous example.
Flowing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Immersive.
And then I read another article saying, you know, text in video games is being treated like a second-class citizen.
I wish. And, text is all over the place.
And, okay, we'll talk about that and why all this stuff is ridiculous when we come back. Okay, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
And you now, love hot sauce.
I do love hot sauce. And one of our, we were just reading one of our, a letter
from
to
Shifter.
Us. From Shifter. And he shared me some hot sauce knowledge, so.
We get letters from him every once in a while. And we'd like to get letters from you, so feel free, email us. You can do that at the website, or if you just email Ara at Chatterbox Game Show, or Alon at Chatterbox Game Show. .com. also, I want to mention UAT.edu. That is the very important website for the University of Advancing Technology. They keep the show going. You too could keep the show going if I somehow provided a way for you to send us money. But I don't because, well, you know, I don't want to do that. So just support UAT. Go there. Go attend and be a student. Now remind me.
Okay, so I started a rant.
What very important topic were you ranting about?
I started a rant before the break.
Heavy rain.
I'm going to end it. It's not just about heavy rain, right? The gist of it is, right, I'm reading all kinds of blogs and articles about video games should do more of this. No, video games should do more of that. No, people are really neglecting this. Video games should do more of this other one.
Are you going to suggest that people should just shut up?
I will really suggest that people should just shut up. Now, the funny thing is...
It's ironic
is that
because you're in the defense of the narrative.
Out of... Well, I'm not in defense of anything... with regards to this specifically, other than shutting up, okay? It's funny because the video game, I don't know, the industry kind of goes in these waves where you get like a whole bunch of games of one kind, right? And this is primarily motivated by the various commercial factors out there. Whole bunch of games that are really similar to each other come out for a while, and then they fade into obscurity, and then a whole bunch of other video games of another kind come out, right? Like, actually, we were talking about Blur the other day. Blur is a good example, right? Blur is basically another Mario Kart style of game or Wipeout style of game where you go around the track, you get power-ups, you shoot people, you race to win.
And man, right? Has it gotten a lot of positive attention.
And it's cool, right? And it feels really new, but it only feels new because the last game that was really similar to it came out a while ago, right? There hasn't been a game like that out for a while, right? I mean, if you count Mario Kart, not as long, but if you count closer competitors and theme, like Wipeout, you know, hasn't been a Wipeout game in a while. Like there's that one on PSN, right? But a lot of people didn't notice it. And in terms of visibility, right? Like Blur has a lot more visibility. So in Heavy Rain again, right? The structure of Heavy Rain, not new, not novel, but it feels novel because nobody has done a highly visible game like that with such high production values in a long, long, long time, right? So people forget about the old structures.
What game would you compare it to that already exists?
I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
But it's not a novel structure, right?
I would agree that it's not novel because I don't think there's anything so
strange. I mean, Night Trap, you want me to tell you Night Trap?
I mean, I didn't know the answer to my question.
Okay. So, like, a lot of you know, the Sega CD-based games where there were stories that had branching paths and different endings and narrative-based games, like, they've had those. It's not new, but people think it's new because they forgot those old games. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess the fact that it's 3D and they created characters that weren't real people.
Right.
But seem like real people.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's the production values that make the old feel new. Anyway, that's a little ancillary to my point. My point is, right, that, you know, like this other article I was reading saying, like, oh, you know, like writing in games is not being treated the way it should be. It's not getting the respect it should be. It's not getting, it's being treated like a second-class citizen, you know, all these things. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but there are some games with really awesome writing. And I don't think that writing in games in general has to be necessarily improved, because you can have a great game that has no text in it, no writing at all, and you can have a great game that is primarily text-based. And the really convoluted things about video games as a medium overall is that, and I like to say this a lot, you can consider it a container for all other media preceding it, and maybe some even coming after it. It's a video game can be so complex, can contain all these other things that I don't think it makes sense for you to say, oh, we should have more of this in games, because the idea of the game, of the video game specifically, has gotten so broad, and there's so many games out there. I really think that people are discounting how many games there are out there. There are already, for how whatever thing you're complaining about that there's not enough in games, okay? This will be another Chatterbox challenge, okay? Think of something that you don't think is there are enough of in games, right, that you want to complain about and that games should do more of. And so you write to us, and I'll give you an example of lots more games that do that exact thing that you want more of.
We need more of this in games. But, of course, you're talking about something that exists in at least one game, right?
Well, sure. I mean,
We need more public urination in games.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you want to write us a letter that says that, okay, do it, but you'll get made fun of.
Okay.
Right?
But something real that's been done in at least one game, and you say, there's not enough of this, and we're going to tell you what there is.
Yeah, I mean, look around, guys. I don't know if anyone's ever like counted how many video games there are, but there's tons and tons and tons and tons. You can find what you're looking for. You just have to search for it.
Well, any system that's hit its end of life usually has a few thousand games for it, right? I guess no Nintendo game systems didn't have.
I don't know
if they broke 1,000.
Well, I mean, it depends on the system. I don't think the Jaguar.
But like the PlayStation had like 3,000 or something.
PlayStation had an obscene amount, sure. Yeah.
And PlayStation 2 as well.
And PlayStation 2 had an obscene amount.
Yeah. And of course, PC has just an endless number of games.
Yeah, there's.
But don't even include the PC, and you probably have, you know, certainly of tens of thousands. And it's a question of if you hit 100,000 or not.
Yeah. I mean, the other aspect of it is that you can make games can be really good and completely different from each other. You know,
of course.
I don't think that you can. So I don't think it makes sense to say things like, you know, there should be more of this or less of that in games without this particular context to it.
Well, what I say is there just needs to be more new stuff in games. And the problem is that there's nothing new.
Well, see, I mean, even I will argue with that there is new stuff in games. They're just maybe not necessarily being done in the commercial sector. And, I mean, I guess you could always argue that it's just not sufficiently new for you, right? At which case, okay, I don't have anything to respond to that with, but why don't you go make your own game if you don't like the ones that we have?
Well, I just don't have that creativity. I mean, that's why I play games, right? Because I'm not making
Right, but you see my point, right? It's senseless to even argue that there's not enough newness, right? Because you can't even define a threshold of how much newness would be enough newness, you know? It's an arbitrarily high bar that's not defined. When will the newness satisfy you, Alon? This is my question to you and other people who think
when
there's too much repetition.
Something different. I mean, it's satisfied me many times.
Yes.
Something that I do that's different than something I've done before.
Yes. And so you get satisfied for 5 minutes, and then you're unsatisfied like a heroin junkie, and then you go...
Yeah. Right?
Writing your blogs of dissatisfaction.
Isn't that how it works?
I guess that's how it works.
For everybody,
I guess
Hey, listen, I mean, you are the king of ranters. You don't have to look to me for complaining about games. But you know what it's
this
like.
This is true.
I mean, I'm always looking for the novel experiences, which is weird because lately all I've been doing is playing like simple board game type stuff. You know,
right.
Civ Rev isn't a board game.
But... Oh, speaking of board games, Dominion? Cool game. card game, not a board game, but cool game.
Not an Xbox game
either? No, it's a analog.
Okay, just the old school.
Literally with cards.
Yes, I've not heard of it.
Cool game, Dominion.
All right.
And you know how much I get pissed off at boring games, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But this game was not that boring. It was actually cool.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Someday you'll challenge me, I hope, in this Dominion game.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll actually even buy it.
All right.
So, let's see. I mean, I don't know. We got a couple minutes left.
So, we've discussed Infinity Ward, and they're leaving, and their new company. And net neutrality a little bit. And then this whole thing about Heavy Rain. The Heavy Rain stuff, we've seen a lot of chatter about Heavy Rain. And we've actually talked about it. Maybe we should just quit while we're ahead. But a lot of people have been talking about it. That and Final Fantasy XIII seem to have been the big thing on people's radars lately. And what's funny to me is that neither of them... I mean, Final Fantasy XIII obviously is nothing new. It's nothing special. It's just more of the same game that people have been playing for years.
Better graphics.
With slightly different, way to play it.
Totally in your face.
Yeah, totally in your face, right? But then Heavy Rain also, it's just a story. And I think people like it because the story is cool, so that's...
Right.
That's great.
Well, the other thing, too,
the gameplay is, minimal.
I wouldn't even categorize it as a game. I wouldn't even do that because it's not a product that evaluates you based on your skill. It's literally, an implementation of Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
Which has its advantages, like you're not challenged when you play it, which can be an advantage and it has its drawbacks.
Yeah, but the disadvantage is that it takes years to actually create.
Right. That and probably most people will never see most of the game. But
so we're not going to see any more of it because it's too hard to develop. And the only reason it's good is because it's currently novel or unique in this video game space.
Yeah, so far.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back next week. We may even have a guest.
Might have a special guest.
Yeah. Host something next
maybe.
Week. All right. Well, that's it. We'll be back.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.